All right, so we get to spend a little bit of time looking at the Bible today. Before we begin, I'm going to have a quick drink of water. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. So I'll drink. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that you speak to us in it and through it. I pray that you help me to speak about it well. I pray that as we listen, that we will hear you. I pray that we'll be changed by your word. And I pray that we will do the things that you call us to. Amen. Well, I was pretty excited a few years ago when the film Batman versus Superman was announced. And the reason why is because I love Superman and I love Batman. And then putting them both in a movie together, I was like, this is fantastic. I'm so excited. But I was a bit disappointed that it was called Batman versus Superman. I thought it should be Batman and Superman because I don't want Batman and Superman to fight because they're like wonderful people in and of themselves and should be just best friends. I don't want to see a movie where they're fighting for two reasons. One, because I know that Superman would obviously win because Superman is like, he has got all the power that he needs to do pretty much anything he wants. He has saved the world by like making it time go backwards by flying around the world so much that the earth spins backwards. He like changes the laws of physics to save the earth. And if he fights Batman, he's obviously going to win because Batman hasn't even managed to save Gotham City ever. He just kind of maybe keeps it alive, and then maybe it just gets a little bit worse. So, you know, one, that shouldn't happen, but two, these guys shouldn't be fighting, they should just be friends. I wanted to watch the film Batman and Superman, best friends forever, and they would just go shopping together and go on road trips together, and maybe they, you know, we'd see them stay up late watching movies together. Like, I thought that is what Batman and Superman, the film, should be. These guys should not be enemies. But alas, they were, and then they fought. But I also knew that at the end of the film, whatever happened, they were going to become friends in the end. And then I watched the film, and I found out, one, it was a terrible film, but two, exactly what I thought was going to happen happened. They became friends. And the reason why they became friends is they found out their mums both have the same name. Their mums are both called Martha. And if that's the way it works, well, that's fantastic. And anyone here whose mother's name is Jane, you and I, we can be best friends because that's how it works, isn't it? Now, this film, we see these two people who shouldn't be fighting it against each other, fighting it against each other. We see them in conflict where there shouldn't be a conflict. Now, I want to tell you about another conflict that you might encounter within the church. And if you are kind of new to church or you are unaware of some church politics, then I'm sorry because I'm going to air a bit of dirty laundry. And you probably won't be surprised that we're not perfect anyway. You might not even be any aware of this, but as me as someone who actually originally spent most of my life in Sydney, this is a big conflict in Sydney, and I guess that, you know, it might also be going on a bit here in Perth, and that is the conflict between the Word and the Spirit. There are the Bible people, the people who love the Bible, they're just, you know, everything's about the Bible. Then there are the Holy Spirit people. Everything's just about the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit. And they're the two options. They are in conflict together. And I'll tell you how sometimes this can work. You've got the Bible people. And the Bible people love the Bible so much that all they want to do is they just want to read the Bible. They want to study the Bible. They want to talk about the Bible. Everything has to be about the Bible. The question is about anything at all in spirituality. It's like, is it biblical? And Bible people love to go to churches that are very Bible-based. They love their Bible-based churches, and the way a Bible-based church will work is like this, and I know this because I go to a lot of churches and I've been to a lot of these churches, is you come in and then you sit down and then someone stands up the front and says, hello, welcome to church, and everyone says hello, and then you sing a song. And the way the song works is everyone stands up, you sing, and it goes verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, sit down. And that's the way it works. And then you sing another song. It goes verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, sit down. And then someone stands up and does some announcements. And then it's time for the preaching. And this is the main part of the service, because this is where God speaks. All the rest of it was filler. And here is the time where the amazing thing happens, because someone is talking about the Bible and God is going to talk, and we will hear him preach from his word, and God will speak into your heart. You'll hear him because the Bible is taught. And then when it's finished, everyone's like, that was amazing. And then you sing another song, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, sit down. And then you go and you drink bad coffee and it's over. That's the whole service. Now the spirit people are a bit different. If you go to a spirit church, spirit churches run like, everyone's a lot more kind of like, oh yeah, we'll just see what happens. And you come in, and the pastor welcomes everyone, and then you sing a song, and the song, instead of, you know, just, you know, getting through it as fast as possible, it goes like this: verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, bridge, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, bridge, 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 and then you stop for a while, and then you just, everyone sings whatever they want for a while, and then you might sing two words like spirit, oceans, spirit, oceans, and then you go bridge, 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 bridge. And then you move on to the next song, and then you do it all again. And eventually, you know, someone comes up the front and says, church, wasn't the spirit moving today? And you're like, yeah, I guess wish we were moving. Come on. And then the pastor gets up and says, I'm going to preach today. And I had a message prepared, but I really feel the spirit tell me that I should speak on something different. And so today I'm going to talk about Psalm 34, verse 8. And in fact, not just Psalm 34, verse 8. I'm going to talk about Psalm 34, verse 8, just one word, and that is the word and. The question is, are you an and person? Are you going to be part of the and generation, or are you going to be a but person? Are you going to be a but person, or are you going to be an and person? The question of and is, what does God want to add to your life? Not does God want to take away, and then talk about and for a while, and then everyone comes down the front and gets prayer to be and people, and then you sing some more, and then you go and have great coffee at the end of the service. Is that's the way the spirit church works. And then the conflict happens because people warn each other about the others. And the Bible people warn people about the spirit church and say, oh, I don't think you should go there. It's not very Bible-based. And then the spirit people warn other people about the Bible church and say, I don't think you should go there. It's not very spirit-filled. Now, there's a problem with this, because there is a conflict that should not be there. There should not be a conflict between the word and the spirit. They are not enemies. They go together. And the reason why they go together is because the only reason why we have the Bible is because the Spirit wrote it. And the only way the Bible has any power is because the Spirit speaks through the Bible. And we see this because the Bible tells us. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we hear that the Bible is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Means that anything that we read in the Word has come to us because God himself has inspired it. When Paul is talking to the Corinthians, he's teaching them about, you know, how it is that he can tell them what God has to say. And he says this. Now, he says he teaches them not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. He's saying there, that it's not just human words that he has. And this book is not just a book of human words, but they are spirit words. The next place that we see this is in 2 Peter 1:20 to 21. And Peter, writing to his readers, says this: you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He's saying that the way that the Bible has come together is not because people just thought of it, and not because it came down from heaven on golden tablets, or, you know, the Holy Spirit sat down at a typewriter and typed out the Bible, but because humans and God together wrote this, and everything that is in the Bible has been written down by humans because the Spirit carried it along, and they wrote exactly what God wanted them to say, because the Spirit and the Word go together. Now, one more, if you want to hear from Jesus himself. Jesus promised that after he leaves, the Holy Spirit would come. And this Holy Spirit would, he said he would teach you, excuse me, all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit's job is that we might know what God has to say, that we would know the truth of who God is, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Bible. And so you can't separate the two. You can't have the Spirit without the Word, and you can't have the Word without the Spirit. My wife Emily is sitting over there, and when I was trying to convince her that she should love me forever, sometimes I put pen to paper and I wrote her love notes, like actually wrote them with a pen and with actual paper. I was very pleased with myself. And I would write her these lovely things, and I would say wonderful things about her, you know, appearance, like you have hair that flows like the Murray River. You have a face that shines brighter than our television. I don't know what I said. It wasn't quite that bad. But I wrote her things. I tried my very best to be eloquent and lovely. And if she took those and she said, "Tom, thank you for these letters. You can go now. I'll just keep these. These are fantastic." That would break my heart. That would be terrible. I wouldn't want that. Or if she said, got the letters and she said, "Well, thanks, Tom, but I've got you," and then got rid of the letters. "I just want you." I was like, "But I put so much effort into those. I spent a lot of time thinking of similes between your appearance and parts of Australia." I would be upset if she rejected the things that I had written. And the same is true with God's Word. That we cannot say, "Oh, I just want the Spirit," because the Spirit speaks to us through the Word. And we cannot say, "I just want the Word," because the Spirit speaks to us through the Word. It's only when we put these together that we can become the people that God wants us to be. We don't do one or the other. We get them both. Because more Word and more Spirit makes us more like Jesus. Without them, we cannot be the people that he calls us to. But with them, we can live the way that we are called. And so the next thing that we have to reckon with is not only that the Spirit helped to write the Bible, who oversaw the creation of the Bible, but also that as the Bible is given to us, it is the way that we understand what God is doing. And if you have the Holy Spirit, it's only through the Spirit that you can properly understand the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll read this to you, this Paul once again is writing to the people in Corinth, and he's letting them know about how they can understand who God is and what he has done. And he's saying the way that they can have that is because of the Holy Spirit. He says this: "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." What he's saying there is he's saying that the only way you can understand the Bible, only way you can truly understand the Bible, is if you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you will read it, but it will be foolishness to you. Now, you might say, "No, that's entirely not true. Anyone can read the Bible and understand the Bible," which is true. Like if someone picks up the Bible and reads it and says, "Love your enemies," they're not going to be like, "What does this love your enemies mean? What is love? What is this enemies? I don't understand your..." Like, it's obvious. Love your enemies means love your enemies. But if what he's saying there is not just that the words don't make sense, but that the what is actually going on without the Spirit just seems like stupidity. I was watching Q&A once, which was an experience as Q&A is, but I saw Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist, there, and he was speaking about Christianity. And he had this to say about Christianity. He was one of the best explanations of the gospel that I have heard. He said this: "The New Testament teaches that God, the all-powerful creator of the universe, couldn't think of a better way to forgive humanity's sins than to have himself put on earth, tortured and executed in atonement for the sins of humanity. Do you think it's admirable? You think it's admirable that God actually had himself tortured for the sins of humanity? That is the Christian view. If you think that's admirable, you can keep it. Now, when I hear that, I say that's pretty much what we believe as Christians. Like, I wouldn't put it that way, but that is what we believe. He said the gospel. And when he hears that, he says, that is despicable. When we hear that, we say that is life. Because we say, here is the good news that God loved us so much that he would come to us as a man, that he would live with us and he would die and he would rise again so that through him and through our trust in him, we might have life forever. We cannot do it on our own, but we can do it because of what he has done. This is good news, but without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, it is just foolishness. So we need the Word and the Spirit to go together. Without them, we have nothing. But together, we have what we need. More Word and more Spirit makes us more like Jesus. So the question then that we come to now is, well, how then do we put this into action? And I'll give you a really simple thing to do. Read your Bible. And I know, you know, you're like, yeah, of course. But chances are, if you're anything like me, you're like, yeah, actually, I need to read my Bible. Like, it's a struggle sometimes to read the Bible. It's a struggle to carve out the time that you have so that you can, you know, make sure you hear from God throughout the day. That is difficult. But it is only through reading the Bible that we will get to know who God is. And so let me give you some ways to read the Bible. One thing that you should make sure that you do is that you read the Bible the way that it was written. Now, sometimes we treat the Bible like it is just a collection of inspirational verses. That we say, yeah, I love the Bible because it tells me that, you know, God has plans to prosper me and not to harm me. And I love the Bible because it tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love the Bible because it tells me that even though, you know, I am weary and heavy laden, I can come to Jesus because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. That we have a few, you know, kind of verses that we go to and we get inspired by them, but that is not how the Bible was written to us. If the Bible was like that, then God could have just sent us like a calendar with some nice pictures on it. But that's not what the Bible is. Now, the Bible is something different. Other times, we treat the Bible like it's a magical book. Like if you just open it up and you go to any spot in the Bible, that you'll get to a really good thing that God has to say to you. So like maybe we'll just go here. That says, at this time, Hazael, king of Aram, went up and attacked Gath and captured it, and then he turned to attack Jerusalem. Well, thank you, Lord, for saying that to me today. But that's not how the Bible works either. The Bible is a collection of books that were written by about 40 different people over the space of about 1,600 years. It is not one book, it's a bunch of books. And so we've got to treat a bunch of books the way that we would treat a bunch of books. Like you don't just walk into a library and then find any book and pull it off the shelf and then put your finger and say, oh, look, there we go. I needed to solve the questions with my love life and look, I have this cookery book from 1950. This has really sorted things out for me. You don't do that. You say, well, what is this? This is a cookery book. Well, this will not tell me the things I need to find out about my love life, but it will tell me how to cook. And I know that it's from 1950, so it might, you know, there might be some different measurements in there and different ideas about who should be in the kitchen. So I really need to kind of go through this book and figure out, you know, what it looks like so that I can understand it properly. And that's the same thing we have to do with the Bible, because the Bible is a collection of books. There is poetry, and there is history, and there is letters, and there's prophecy, and there's revelation, and there's all these, you know, all these different things. We have to understand what they are and how they work, and then we read the Bible knowing what the Bible is, and then we can understand it and interpret it properly. So spend time not just reading your Bible, but figuring out what the Bible actually is. And if you want a really easy way to do it, And I know that you guys are, most of you are grown-ups, but you all know how to YouTube, I'm guessing, or if you don't, ask someone. You can jump on YouTube. There's this group called The Bible Project, and they will give you an overview of every book in the Bible. It takes like 7 minutes for each book, and then you can be an expert on all the books. If you want to start reading a book, just watch that, and then you'll understand the book, and then you start reading it and say, oh, now I know this kind of book that I'm reading. So make sure you put some effort into understanding this book that you have. And if you need some help, then go and ask for help, because there are people around who will help you. You have pastors in this church, and their job is to help you to understand the Bible, so ask them. And if you want other help, then you can get books. There are lots of ways that you can understand the Bible. Make sure you spend regular time in the Bible, even if it's just 5 minutes every day. And once you've got 5 minutes sorted out, then get 10 minutes. And once you've got 10 minutes done, get 15 minutes. And once you've got 15 minutes done, give yourself a pat on the back. And you can do more than that, you probably should. But, you know, like 15 minutes is pretty big for some of us. So spend time, because as you read the Bible, you will hear from God. Now, let me give you some other things that you can do. And these are some things not to do. One is, do not misuse the Bible. And we are very good as Christians at misusing God's word. One way that you can misuse God's word is that you can become a Bible hoarder. I don't know if any of you guys like love getting on Gumtree. And do you guys have Gumtree? You do, just making sure, because, you know, every now and then it's like just a Melbourne thing or something. But anyway, so Gumtree, you love getting on Gumtree and getting like free stuff. And somebody's like, yeah, I got myself a surfboard and I got myself, you know, like a baptismal thing from an Anglican church and I got myself a, you know, like a pram. It's like, why do you need a surfboard, a pram, and a baptismal thing? You're like 14 years old. You don't need any of those things. And the reason, and you're like, but it was free and I got it. And sometimes that's what we do with the Bible. It's like we read the Bible, we study the Bible, and then we hold on to all our Bible knowledge, and then we have it just so that we can feel really good about ourselves and win Bible trivia at church camp. Like that's what we have the Bible for. And then sometimes we can pull it out when we to win an argument and to feel superior over people, but that's about it. Don't be that person. Do not be a Bible hoarder. If you know the Bible, the first thing that you need the Bible for is that you might be changed. The Bible is not there so that you can speak to others and tell them, show them how good you are. The Bible is there so that God can speak to you so that you might know Him and He might change you so that you can become the person that He calls you to be. More word, more spirit makes you more like Jesus. Do not hoard the Bible. Let it change you. And then, if you have it, let it change you enough so that you will take the truth of it to others so that they might know the love of Jesus. Don't be a Bible hoarder. The second thing is, don't be someone who ignores the ordinary voice of God for the extraordinary. Sometimes we spend time really wanting God to speak to us, waiting for Him to say something special and important just for us when He has already spoken. Now, some of you are probably parents, some of you are probably kids. All of you have been kids at some point in your life. When I was a kid, my mother would leave us notes, letting us know the kinds of things that she wanted us to do around the house before she got home. And imagine if, you know, if I got a note from my mum and she said, Tom and Joe, my sister, would you please, you know, clean your rooms before I get home? And I might read this, and I might say, yeah, okay. I wish Mum would call me and tell me what to do. I wish she could ring me up and let me know what she is calling me to. When it's clear what she wants me to do. And imagine how that conversation would go. I'd be like, hello? And she'd be like, hi, Tom, it's Jane, your mother. I'd be like, hi, Jane. I've met someone else whose mum's name is Jane. We're best friends now. It's great. And I'd be like, Mum, what do you want me to do? And she was like, well, read the note. I was like, well, yeah, on the note, you asked, you know, us to clean our rooms. And I know that's a good word for my sister, but what is yours word for me? Clean your room. Okay, you want me to clean my room, but when should I clean my room? Is it like before 4 o'clock or after 4 o'clock? I don't care. Just clean your room. I'm just trying to work out, you know, how should I do it? Should I start with, you know, the stuff on my bed, or should I start with the food under my bed? Clean your room. I don't know, is it? I just don't feel like it's the season for me to clean my room. It doesn't matter what season it is, clean your room. And we do that with God. We say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. What do you have to say to me? It's like, it's in your hands. Speak to me, God, it's in your hands. Like he has spoken to us. You don't need to wait for the extraordinary voice of God. You have it right here in his word. And if he speaks to you and gives you something great to do, then that's great. But until then, don't wait. You have enough to get on with right here. You can spend your whole life learning to love your enemies, to care for the poor, to look after the marginalized, and to spread the good news of Jesus. If that's all you do for the rest of your life, because God never gives you something specific to do, you have plenty to get on with. And if you do that, you'll get to the end of time, and God will be like, good on you. You've been working hard at obeying me because I spoke to you through my word. Now, there's a few more things quickly that we can make sure that we don't do. One is, don't twist the Bible. And we've seen a terrible example of that this week. We do not use the Bible to speak in the ways that we want it to speak. We use the Bible to speak in the ways that God has spoken, which means we need to understand the Bible well, to study it well, so we use it in the way that it was written. When I was in school, I had a crush on a girl. I had a crush on her for years, and I really wanted to date her. And I would pray, I'm like, God, please help me to date her. And like, he would never be like, yes, Tom, you can date her. That never happened. And I was like, God, I really want to hear from you. Please tell me. And then he never did. And then I was like, you know what I'd really love? I know there's that bit in Matthew where it says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Because everyone who seeks, find. Everyone who knocks, anyway, it's here in the Bible somewhere. It's in Matthew chapter 7. I knew that it was in Matthew chapter 7. So I was like, I wish God would say that to me. And so I was like, God, I'm just going to sit down and read the Bible. And I'm going to read it until you speak to me. So I said, I'm going to start with Matthew. And I read through Matthew chapter 1. He didn't have anything to say. In Matthew 2, nothing to say. 4, 5, 6, nothing to say. But then in Matthew chapter 7, God said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. It's like, thank you, Lord. I get to date this girl. Which is definitely not what happened. She never dated me. It was very disappointing because God didn't say that. I entirely twisted the Bible to make it say what I wanted it to say, not to tell me that I have a loving Father in heaven who will give me the good things that I need. And if the good thing is not the girl that I want to date, then it'll be something different. That is what that passage is saying to us, that we can ask him for anything and he will care for us and give us what we need. That's what it's saying, but I twisted it to make it what I wanted to say. Do not do that with the Bible. But spend time with the Bible, because if you do want to hear God's voice, then as you read the Bible, it will train you to understand the way that God speaks. So if God does have something special to say to you, something in particular just for you, as he speaks, you will recognize his voice because you have heard it again and again and again throughout the Word. So spend time in the Word so that when God speaks, you'll recognize him. Otherwise, you know, you'll have some crazy idea and you'll be like, oh yeah, I'm really passionate about it. I think it's God. And God will be like, no, you don't go out and steal money and get drunk as an evangelistic crusade, because my Bible is clear about it. You don't do it. You totally misunderstood me. Spend time in the Word and you will understand his voice when he speaks. And I'm saying that God can speak. And some of you are like, why are you all about the Bible? And I'm like, because this is where God speaks, because more Word, more Spirit make us more like Jesus. But it's not just through the Bible that God speaks. He can speak through dreams and prophecies. He can speak through your friends and through your family. He can speak through Batman versus Superman. He can speak however the heck he wants. He is God. But he will never say anything that is beyond what he has said in the Bible. He will never say anything that is outside of what he has said in the Bible. And so spend time in the Word so that you will be able to hear him. We spend time in the Word because as we read it, as we understand it, we hear God speaking to us through his Spirit. His Spirit helps us to understand him and to know who he is. We read it because this is how we know God. And we also read it because it is the best story that we can ever read. Because we have this great news about how there is a God in heaven. He sent his Son Jesus for us. And the only way we know that story is through the Bible. If you want to know that God who loves you so much that he would live and die and rise again for you, then read the book that he has given us. Get to know him and then live it out and help other people to know him too, because as you do that, the Spirit will be working in you and working in them, because more Word and more Spirit makes us more like Jesus. If you are not a Christian, then what this means for you is that if you are waiting for God to speak, you don't need to wait anymore. He has spoken. It is right there in the Bible. God has told you the best news possible, that you are loved and that if you turn to him, you can be forgiven. That you can be welcomed into his family and welcomed forever if you put your trust in Jesus because of what he has done at the cross. Read the Bible and you will meet a great and loving God. And if you are a Christian, then what this means for you is that you need to love your Bible, because if you love God, then you love what he has said to you in his Word. And spend time in the Bible saying and asking God to speak to you, because you know that he speaks. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, so that as you read the Bible, you are hearing him speak. And then go out and live what he calls you to live, because as you do that, you will see the Spirit at work in your life and the work of those around you, because he puts into practice the things that he has said in his Word. Make sure you are someone who does not divide the spirit and the word from each other, but puts them together. Because more word and more spirit makes us more like Jesus. I'm going to say a prayer for us, and the band, I think, is going to come up. I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, that you speak to us, that you have not left us alone, you have not left us in ignorance, that we can hear from you. I pray that we will use your Bible well, that we'll use it the way it was intended, and that as we read it, we will listen, and we'll be changed because we have this great news, this great story of what you have done for us in your Son, Jesus, and the way you are living through us and empowering us to live the way you call us to. We know this through your word, and we will see it in our lives when we trust you. Amen.